Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. For the second year in a row, the Annie Malone May Day Parade has been postponed. This comes as Annie Malone Children and Family Services faces financial hardships that include costs for structural renovations and repairs on its buildings. In lieu of a parade this year, the organization is planning a festival and talent showcase for May 17th. Response to news that the parade will not take place this year illuminates just how many St. Louisans cherish the event. It has also highlighted a gap in basic and deeper knowledge about the parade's origins and the woman for whom the parade is named. Last March, we spoke with Linda Nance, the founder of the Annie Malone Historical Society. Linda was motivated to establish the society because she saw a dearth of accessible information about Annie Malone, the woman, the entrepreneur, the philanthropic and cultural force. I started the conversation with Linda Nance by asking about the beginnings of the Annie Malone May Day Parade.
It first started as a celebration to be happy about the mortgage burning. The facility that we know now as the Annie Malone Children and Family Service Center had its building in 1922 as the St. Louis Colored Orphans Home. And it was a piece of property that Annie Malone donated, valued at about $10,000 at that particular point. And when they actually burned that mortgage in about, for that building, they started a parade. They had a parade before then, but they did one. I don't know exactly what year it actually started in earnest, but it started as a way to burn a mortgage. Mm-hmm. And then when they built the building at Annie Malone Drive now, it just continued on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. That building was built in 1922, but they had been having parades before that in the community. And it got so large, it got to be in several different places in the St. Louis community. Mm-hmm. And it's just continued in her honor ever since.
Yeah. Now, the first parade back in 1910.
Yes.
I'm just trying to imagine, you know, what that looked like. What information do you have about the beginnings of it? You know, how big was it? Where was it happening?
Well, it was happening in the immediate community. If memory serves me right, there was an old soldier's building that it was in its very start, and then it moved to a location off of Natural Bridge, and then it moved to the location that it's on now, and then actually it moved one more time to Page Avenue, where it currently has residence. But it was a community parade, and it was an opportunity for African-American people to celebrate their excellence. There were very few opportunities for that to happen. Mm-hmm. So you had organized groups of residents and women and men, fraternal groups that would come. There would be bands, local bands or community bands that would all participate in that parade. And it just has gotten larger exponentially ever since, and always, though, involved the African-American community. When it was on the Annie Malone Drive, as it's named now, it is something that I remember. I'd marched in that parade as a brownie when I was probably 8 or 9 years old, which is the case for a lot of people in St. Louis. They remember so very fondly just hordes of people in the community. There was a time when you saw more African Americans together than any other time I can remember as a child. And they were celebrating the excellence of them. There were marching bands from different schools, elementary, high school, even community kinds of bands or drill teams would come. It was a time to celebrate and pull out the very best that you had in the community.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like this would be more than a parade that, you know, starts and stops at a very particular time. Was this also like a celebration that lasted throughout the day?
Yes, it lasted for hours because mm-hmm. you spent a good portion of your season in the year preparing yeah. for it. Churches were frequently called upon to help support the children's home through donation and through volunteer work at the home, in fact. And I was one of those young people as well. Mm-hmm. Our church, Washington Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, was one that was very involved in volunteering at the organization. So during that parade time, a lot of churches let out early because they knew they were going to be involved in that parade. A lot right. of their young people, a lot of their adults would be involved in that parade.
How did it feel to be part of the parade? At different points in your life.
Well, glorious was my first one because as a Brownie, I was so very proud to march. It was a really long walk. I do remember that too.
Right.
But was very proud to do that and be a part of this really bigger than life thing in our community. And then as an adult, I worked at the Annie Malone Children and Family Service Center as their director of resource development for a time and was responsible for trying to make sure that the St. Louis community knew about the parade and knew about Annie Malone and why they actually attended the parade.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just a celebration. It was a celebration to support young people who did not have families.
Mm-hmm.
And that has changed a lot because you're not just orphaned anymore. You have a situation where you have families that cannot care for children. So they step in and do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when Annie Malone Children and Family Services had shared on February 19th that the parade was being postponed, there was an outpouring of comments online expressing disappointment, there is confusion. I think this is a good point at which to remind everyone that the Annie Malone Children and Family Services is not related to the Annie Malone Historical Society, but obviously you have your personal history there.
I have a personal history. I have a personal desire to support their efforts. They are a central, very important part of that community, a part of the African-American community. And that doesn't need to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And the parade is one of the resources, the major resources that they use to fund their activity. So it really doesn't need to go away. But the focus still needs to be on caring for children.
Right.
And I applaud Keisha Lee. I know she had to make a really, really difficult decision to do that. But it obviously was a good one because it demonstrates that the community values the parade.
Mm-hmm.
In learning more about Annie Malone herself, I'm hoping that people can understand why it is that she was involved in trying to provide resources for young people. And I hope that the community in St. Louis continues to do that on into the future.
Mm-hmm. The place that this parade occupies, the place that Annie Malone has in St. Louis history as a philanthropist and as a cultural figure. Talk with us about that. What is it that people should know? I mean, I've been in St. Louis now for about 10 and a half years, and I have heard the name Annie Malone and seen kind of bits and pieces about her. What are the needs to know about Annie Malone?
At one point, she was described in the media as a giving freak.
Oh, okay.
Because she gave so much of her wealth to her causes. And the particular one that she had from 1919, when she became board president of the home,
mm-hmm.
was the home. She cared for the children's home till she died. Even though she was not in St. Louis anymore, she was still a large champion and proponent of supporting that organization. She made her millions in the hair care industry. Mm-hmm. She was one who didn't just have a product, but she had an industry that she was trying to promote and care for and share with people. Her attention to it, she started in 1900 with the hair care business, creating the wonderful hair grower. And she trained in her lifetime 75,000 women across the United States and the world, for that matter. And she also trained them not just in the hair care industry or in the change in the paradigm for economics for women of color. She told them to be a part of your community, mm-hmm. be a part of the housing, the stocks, the bonds, the volunteerism. She taught a way of life that gave Black women agency to be positive in their communities and support their communities in all different kinds of ways. Mm-hmm. Their churches, different organizations within the different communities that they had. She was a real force because she had schools. She was the first one to take education for cosmetology to a different level. She had schools all over the United States. She had supply stations in different places within the United States. And she taught women very, very clearly how to walk, talk, sit, stand, do hair, do books, do anything that was necessary to be a success at their business, mm-hmm. success in their communities. So that was a real different kind of way of looking at things. She was in St. Louis until 1927 after a very ugly divorce. She basically asked her husband to leave me the business. I'll give you $200,000 and just go away, would you please, and okay. leave me my business. And that happened, but she also left St. Louis in 1927 and went mm-hmm. to Chicago. She had five different expansions. So this lady is one that thought about some of everything and was involved in supporting a variety of things that pushed people of color forward.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the answer to this question is, you know, it's self-evident, but what was it in her personal biography that made her so committed both to what you've described about her as an entrepreneur, but also to supporting the orphan's home, the home for children?
Annie Malone was the 10th of 11 children. She was orphaned herself, and there is a question about exactly how young she was or how old she was. Mm-hmm. She was raised by her siblings in Peoria, Illinois, and she had a desire very early on to teach people how to take care of themselves and represent themselves better, particularly women. And as she went forward, She never had any children of her own, and she latched on to being a help to young people who did not have families, mm-hmm. and it just continued. St. Louis was her home base, so to speak, in terms of her supporting the children's home. But I think, too, there were many examples of where she supported other children's organizations throughout the country. Mm-hmm. She was very supportive and encouraged on a collective basis the poor old agents that she had. She encouraged them to pray every day. And at different times, she'd send out a call to say, we're going to pray at 1 o'clock mm-hmm. And give you times in Colorado and other places in the world to say, we're going to come together as a group, and we are stronger as a group than we are anything else. She sent out newsletters. She was very, very present in the African American press. I have a personal question to say, did Annie Malone help to make the Black press, or did the Black press help to make Annie Malone? Mm-hmm. I don't know which one, but they were in lockstep with one another and always, always asking people to support with their dollars what it is you believe in. Mm-hmm. And that was a really strong piece. And I think that's why she was very committed. She made a statement at one point I read that said, this is not my money, it's God's money. So I am supposed to make sure it goes to places to uplift people. Mm-hmm. She was very, very involved with the National Association of Colored Women's Clubs, and their mission and their desire was to always lift as we climb. Mm-hmm. And she tried to live that.
That was Linda Nance, founder of the Annie Malone Historical Society, speaking about Annie Malone's commitment to supporting children and young people with her money and influence. We first spoke with Linda last March, after Annie Malone Children and Family Services announced the cancellation of the Annie Malone May Day Parade, an annual tradition that began in 1910. Community members and local and state leaders rallied to provide funding to put the beloved event back on the 2025 calendar. The May 16th EF3 tornado, which hit just 2 days before, ultimately kept the parade from happening. This week, Annie Malone Children and Family Services announced it will postpone this year's parade until next spring. It cited financial hardship and the need to renovate its headquarters, which is housed in an historic building located in the Ville neighborhood and dates back to 1922. The organization is planning a festival and talent showcase in May that will include a local vendor market, a judge competition, and opportunities to support the nonprofit. For more information on this story, visit stlpr.org.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.